Hi, I'm your host, Will Fraser, and I'm really excited to welcome all of you listeners to the Advocacy Channel's very first bonus episode. Today actually marks our 1 year anniversary of the show. And to mark this special occasion, we've brought back our very first guest, Rachel Gershon, the Assistant Professor of Marketing at the Rady School of Management. And Rachel gives us a sneak peek into her latest research on referrals. I'd like to take a second to thank our longtime listeners for all of your support and welcome you back to the show. If this is your first time listening to the show, I'm so glad to have you here and I want to thank you for tuning in. Now, if you haven't listened to episode one yet, I suggest you head on back and learn about Rachel's research on how recipient benefiting incentive programs achieve better results. We're going to reference this a little bit in this episode. Well, with that, thank you again and let's jump on into it. Rachel, welcome back to the show. It is so great to have you here. It is hard to believe that it's almost been a year since we spoke and that you helped us christen this show and we're joined us as our first guest. Thank you so much for coming on back.
It was such an honor. Thank you so much for having me back.
Now, you know, we've been chatting a little bit recently and it sounds like you've got some really interesting work that you've been doing. And you know, I'd love to learn a little bit more about that, kind of what cool things are you exploring? What are you finding? What's on the horizon? Before I do that, just for any of our listeners that haven't heard the first episode with Rachel, I really recommend you go back, take a look, listen to that episode. Some of the content in that episode is some of the content that's made me sound the smartest over the last year. So you definitely want to dig into that one and give that a listen. But Rachel, I'll kick it over to you. You know, what's been going on for the last year?
Well, so along the same lines as the research I told you about last time, so that work was on what we called pro-social referral incentives. We were interested in like consumer behavior in a social context. People want their friends to think highly of them, and so they are even more likely to send a referral if the reward goes to their friend. That friend is even more likely to follow through. So we were interested in this social referral reward, and we've now moved on to some other referral reward research where, you know, we're interested in what is the value of a referred customer. And there's a lot of other great work finding that customers who are referred are more valuable. And we wanted to just add to that research. So we started by replicating it and then extending it. So this is some recent unpublished work, which I'd love to share more with you either now or later. And this work is with a brilliant friend and colleague, Zhenling Zhang, who is at Wharton.
Nice. And so it's interesting, you know, you mentioned kind of this previous work, and in my readings in the space, a lot of the previous work is, I'll call it extremely previous, has been done some time ago. And you kind of just glossed over that kind of reproducibility. Help me understand that. Was that work generally reproducible?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, as you can imagine, it's hard to publish research that's just replicating previous findings. Right. And that's getting a little bit better. There's been a real push for just replicating previous findings, making sure that it generalizes to other contexts. And we were excited to be able to first do that in this paper, and then also add something novel. But we're working with this large mobile technology firm, and we were able to replicate that people who'd been referred made more purchases. So we're using that as kind of a proxy for their the overall revenue. So they're more active, they make more purchases. But you're right, this previous work, it was in primarily in the context of a bank. And it was done quite a while ago. So it was exciting to be able to see that replicated.
Yeah. And that's personally really exciting for me because, you know, probably 10 years ago-ish, I was reading, I believe, the paper you're speaking about, which is in, a German bank setting. Yeah. And it was always interesting, but, you know, having that ability to actually verify it culturally, historically, technologically, there's all these kind of questions that I've had over the years. Mm. And I know you guys extended it, which is really exciting. And we were talking about before the show a little bit about some of those tidbits and new finds you found there. But I think that in of itself, because, you know, there's just so many marketers out there that believe it and want to believe it. But I've been, you know, the engineer in me going, you know, is it true? Like, is it there? And that's really cool.
And there's some interesting, like, context specific, you know, it's a bank, and therefore, you know, some of the things they found about, let's say, churn, where they found that people, you know, once the person who had referred you left the bank, you also became more likely to leave the bank. And there are some reasons to believe that that might be kind of specific to a bank, you know, like if you and your partner are using the same bank, you might both leave. Whereas if you have a product that you're using and you, you know, maybe you referred to it, but then you learn that you really like it, then you might be more likely to stay, continue using that product. So we actually didn't find this likelihood of churning in our data. I don't even know if that made it into the paper, but that was one interesting piece of it, is that in this context, people, you know, once their partner, the person who'd referred them, had left, they weren't any more likely to leave, which is really important.
Yeah, that's really important. And it's interesting that you mentioned there that kind of that social connectedness as to, like, the relation might matter, the product might matter. But it sounds, you know, interesting, you know, broadly, you know, if you're talking kind of data from large scale mobile applications, we'll say consumer behavior, broadly speaking, that kind of, you know, once you're introduced to it, the departure of someone else doesn't take you away. I think that just helps speak to this idea we've talked around, without necessarily the full backing to support that the lifetime value of a referred customer should be better. And there's always been that question about the influence of that referrer.
Right. Yeah. So, and another nice thing we were able to do here. So, you know, there's two pieces of like the role that the referrer might play, the continued role. One is social enrichment, and the other is social validation. So social validation is, you know, we trust our friends, and if they like a product, then we might feel more validated in using this product. The social enrichment is the continued, you know, if my friend refers me to this bank and I have questions about, you know, how to be how to use the bank and use customer service and questions about a product, that's the social enrichment piece. A clearer example of social enrichment might be something along the lines of, you know, gaming online with your friend. If your friend refers you to play an online game with them, then you're going to be, the experience will be enriched by playing it together. And so at least in our context, we found that this social enrichment did not play as much of a role long-term as we might have expected.
You know, and that's, once again, that's kind of fascinating findings to me. And I'm just glad that there are people out there that are really trying to test this this kind of historic knowledge and help us push that forward. I mean, I don't believe that humans have changed that much in time, but I believe that a lot of things have changed and a lot more clarity can be gained.
So just check in every decade.
Right. Years ago, when I started in this working around customer marketing, we were working in referrals. I remember visiting a family member. And in the display cabinet in their house, they had this old cooking book, this old cookbook. And, you know, from, say, early 1900s kind of a time. And in it, it was open to a ad for flour. And in this flour ad, there was basically a coupon that you could give to a friend. Huh. And I laughed. I'm like, and there is a referral program. Like, yes. You know, like literally probably like 1910 kind of time frame. And it's like, yep. It's been going around for a while, but I do think that having the data we have access to now, you know, just it makes that such a more interesting area of study to prove how to get it right. I guess is kind of one of the key things that I'm always looking at.
Right. They've evolved so much, and there are now, as you know, there's infinite types of programs. I just had a referral reward program that I had never experienced before, just in my personal life, which was an anonymous referral. I received a referral from a friend, but it just said, a friend has referred you to this. Which, you know, as a researcher was so interesting to me because I thought from my perspective, I'd like to know who this friend is. I'd like to ask them, do you like these shoes? And on the other hand, from their perspective, maybe it's just really easy to not worry about like reputational concerns of referring. So maybe you're increasing the referrer side, maybe decreasing the recipient side. But so many new options.
I would love to know the details on that one because almost everyone I speak to kind of wants to go the other way, right? They want to hyper-personalize it to associate that credibility of the referrer. But, you know, I mean, stranger things have been proven to work in the world of marketing. So it'd be very interesting to see how that plays out from a study perspective.
Oh, yeah. I will almost definitely be looking into that. Definitely interested in the anonymous component of that. From the perspective of the recipient, you know, that's the whole purpose of the referral reward, right? I mean, there's the targeting that like, you know, your friends well, maybe this friend knows that I would like these shoes. On the other hand, there's no benefit for me of knowing this friend, that validation or enrichment.
Yeah. So I don't want to take all the, you know, the good bits out of this new work you've been doing. But, you know, generally speaking, any other high level insights you want to share with us today or save that for maybe the next time?
I could give you a bit of a sneak peek, which that we found, and, you know, I think we might have even discussed this very briefly in the last time we talked. But what we found in this data is that when you just look at a customer's value, when we were looking at referred customers' value, you're underestimating the value of that customer if you don't take into consideration the likelihood of the customer referring. So what we found is that we're calling it like contagious referrals. Referred customers are not only more valuable, they're also more likely to refer other people. And they're about 30% more likely in our in our data.
That's sizable. That's a sizable influence.
Totally. We found that in this large field data set. We replicated it in a field experiment and in several randomized studies. And we find that it makes a large difference in the value of these customers, which we already knew were valuable customers. So referred customers are also bringing in more valuable customers.
That's really interesting. So, you know, to me that kind of just brings up a question in my mind, which is, you know, there sounds like there's an advantage to actually start a referral program early with the idea that we've called it a culture of referrals, but establishing that referral contagion and, you know, each one's going to kind of accelerate the program, you know, as you kind of reach that critical mass. But 30% is a major move, you know? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but you know, another piece of it that we found was that, if you just remind people that they joined through a referral, that also boosts the likelihood of them referring. So you have these referred customers who are already more likely to refer. And some of them have been around for 5 years and it's maybe not super salient that they joined through a referral. So just reminding them like, hey, you joined through a referral, refer your friends, also increase their likelihood of referring. So that was really exciting as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've talked to several people who kind of talked to this idea about the referral likelihood as a time continuum from when you started with the product to where you are now. And that's an interesting piece is to say like, and once again, just kind of, you know, curious, to be like, does reminding them almost kind of reboot them to somewhere earlier in their lifetime as a referred customer that they now remember that and act accordingly. That's really cool. Yeah. That's really, really cool findings.
Thanks. Yeah. And you know,
I don't take all. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rachel. Sorry.
I was going to say, one important piece of this is that we can also control for like the amount of activity that they're using. So like, sure, early on, customers are also more active with the company, but even controlling for that activity, we continue to see this effect.
Awesome. Now, I know I don't want to steal all the thunder from this new paper coming out, but I know before the show you had mentioned some other really interesting work that I think would be really interesting to some of our listeners in the customer marketing space.
Sure.
Maybe you could kind of just give us an overview of that work.
Sure. So I have another project, which we called Friends with Health Benefits. And this project is about these tandem incentives. So we find that people were more likely to go to the gym if we incentivize them to go with a friend. And what we showed is, we had people sign up for this study with a friend, and we either gave them a reward every time they went to the gym or only when they went with a friend. And we found this like 25% increase in their likelihood of going to the gym if they had to show up with their friend. The next step there that we're kind of interested in is, do people predict this? Are they aware of like this level of accountability that increases the likelihood of them going to the gym?
What kind of sparked this question? I'm kind of curious, what was it that you're like, will this work or will this not work?
Oh my gosh. Well, for me, this is what we call me search, where I'm just like, I can't get myself to exercise without a friend. if I tell someone like I'm going to be at the pool at 4 p.m., meet me there, then I will absolutely show up. But I need that accountability. And so this is one of those cases where I was like, is this true for other people too? Like, can we add this hurdle of you have to show up with your friend, and get people to actually go more often? And there's a lot of good work on, the role of accountability in getting people to, in motivating behavior. So this was just a way of like incorporating accountability into an incentive scheme.
And when you said, there's sometimes you give people an incentive just for going to the gym and sometimes an incentive just for going with a friend, was it the same incentive? Because it seems like a higher bar to go with a friend than yourself, same incentive across the board?
Yeah, it was the same incentive across the board. And this was just $1. This was done with students. We gave them $1 for going to the gym. And we actually ran this study twice. And one of the times we had a $1 incentive and a $3 incentive. And we found there that there was less of a difference, that the $1 incentive basically brought it up to the level of the $3 incentive. So like having to go with your friend made this incentive a lot stronger. But that once you got to a larger incentive, people were about equally likely to go. So this seemed to work a little bit better with small incentives.
And did you, just out of curiosity, the idea is, trying to get you to go with a friend. Did you follow any of these people kind of after the incentive structure ended? Were you able to see, did it continue or is that kind of maybe the next questions?
Oh, that's a good question. So we didn't actually find any long-term effect, unfortunately. And that's pretty typical of gym incentive studies. So we did this for 1 month, and who knows, if we'd done it for 3 months, maybe we would have found a long-term effect. It's not clear that this was enough time to establish a habit, but that was really what we were hoping for, right? You're like, okay, what if we create this incentive scheme? You remove the incentive, but they still have their friends that they can go to the gym with. One thing to note about this study is that we ran it in February of 2020. So the long-term,
nothing going on, right?
Nothing happened. We got so lucky. We ran this study for that month and then the gym closed, March 15th. So we had a couple weeks after the incentive where we didn't find an effect, but as you can imagine, there were, other things going on and it's possible that those played a role.
What I like about this, and you kind of mentioned this or alluded to this before the show, this I think has real applications in consumer loyalty programs, right? I just can immediately see this coming together when we're looking at, if we can drive someone to, and you had mentioned, is it play a game? There's a multiplayer game. Is it travel? Is it I'm just kind of, to me, this feels like there's lots of applications where, we can try to get that social commitment to assist us in bringing two people to the table or maybe even more, who knows, to participate in something. I mean, I've got enough friends, enough time playing video games to know that you know, if you can incentivize everyone to get together and play at that time, it might be an interesting way to, you know, take one key player who's really keen to have a reason to drag their 2, 3, 4 friends back into it.
Totally. I mean, you can imagine how, like, we did it as a, you know, like, health incentives program, but for any gym, yoga studio, any like gaming, if you wanted to use this as a kind of referral program, like a bring a friend, and if you both come, then you both get a free class. You could absolutely imagine how the accountability would still factor in.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So what's next? I mean, this is multiple great reports and great findings. Do you have the next project lined up, or the next big question to ask?
Oh, we have so many thoughts on what we'll run next, but I really am interested in this anonymized referral. I think that's where my head's at right now. It's just understanding, are there contexts in which this works? Like, you can imagine maybe more stigmatized contexts, maybe more uncomfortable contexts, where maybe people would be more interested in referring if they could remain anonymous. And then also just continuing to look at like different incentives for referrals. So, you know, from my previous project, we looked at these pro-social referral incentives, but we also found that they're about as effective as a shared incentive. And we're still really interested in kind of figuring out what it is about the shared incentive that might be working. And you can see how that ties into the gym paper as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is always, you know, it's always interesting to me how much time people, you know, that's one of the big questions people look at is incentives, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, most people, I don't know, until you're into it, you don't really think about it. But when you look at a referral program, the majority of your cost is in rewards.
Yeah.
Right. Like the majority of when we look at companies, you know, they might think about people time, they might think about software costs, but at the end of the day, you know, the cost for your rewards could be 20 times the cost of everything else together. And so getting them right, not just for their effectiveness, but for their actual cost effectiveness, constantly a question that we're getting asked, you know, we can point to what we have seen in our experience. But the research you can do, I think, is just, you know, at a depth that is wonderful for the market to get a chance to see and just get a chance to like truly understand maybe the why, and not just like what others have done before, totally. which I think is amazing.
I mean, and one thing that was kind of interesting in studying for this most recent referral project is that one of the studies we ran, we randomized whether people, this was a hypothetical study. We told them either you receive a reward or you will not receive a reward. How likely are you to send this referral? And in this case, we asked them to imagine that they either joined through a referral or through an advertisement. And here we were trying to see if we found this boost in referrals by someone who joined through a referral, regardless of whether there's a reward. But another interesting thing we found is no difference in whether people received a reward in their likelihood of referring. So across conditions, if we told them you receive no reward or you receive a reward, no difference. And this is one of those interesting, is this a hypothetical study issue? Is this a, we asked them to imagine their closest friend issue? You know, maybe people would be willing to refer like one person, the first person that comes to mind, but not the second, third, fourth, you know, without a reward.
Right.
But this was an interesting and unexpected result because we know that referral incentives work in the real world.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really an interesting one. And you know, I think that the more data we get on this, the more research we get on this, just the easier it is for us to really help those many customer marketers out there who are trying their best. But I mean, we're all fighting to make sense of it when we do it day in, day out. You know, there's a lot of people that are looking for kind of the right answer. And I think it's, you know, at this point, still pretty hard to give that answer.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
This has been amazing information. Not that you have to, but anything else that you've been finding that you want to share?
Nothing that's coming to mind right now, but we should keep talking because I'm sure you have a bunch of great ideas. I mean, in the future, of what we should be studying next. It's really interesting to hear that you were aware of of this other research and would love to hear what you think.
Once upon a time, I spent some time in academia. Yes. They kicked me out and said, maybe you should go, maybe you should go work in the world. They didn't, to be fair, that also happened to my development career. So maybe not a good thing. But thank you so much. I always love learning these things and I've got a lot of big, dumb questions that I'm happy to share at any point as well. Yes. Before we break here, I just want to ask, you know, where can people find the research you're doing? Where can they connect with you and follow the great stuff you're doing?
Sure. Well, they can look at, on my website, I have links to the like unpublished work that I've talked about today, which is called Referral Contagion, as well as the paper that I spoke of last time. So that is rachelgershon.com. That previous paper was published in the Journal of Marketing Research and is something about pro-social referrals.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm jealous that you managed to get your name as a domain. Mine is a rugby player. But thank you very much for all your time and all your insights here today. And for our listeners, we will link to those sites that Rachel just mentioned here so you can easily find them. But thank you very, very much, Rachel. Cheers. Thank you for tuning in to this bonus episode of the Advocacy Channel. Join us in a couple weeks as we bring on our next guest, Matthew Barrett from Bonjoro, to talk about the true meaning of loyalty and how to build it in your customer base. If you like what you heard and would like to help support the Advocacy Channel, please review, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about customer marketing, head over to the Sasquatch blog or follow us on LinkedIn. The links are in this episode's description. If you're looking to create powerful customer marketing programs that will better help you activate, engage, and retain your customers throughout their entire journey, head over to sasquatch.com through the links in the episode's description and learn more about a referral, loyalty, and rewards platform. That wraps up another great episode of the Advocacy Channel. We'll see you real soon.